Welcome to the Max Living Podcast.
We're here to help you live your life to its fullest potential by taking control of your health, identifying the cause of common health challenges, and removing interference. Whether your health journey has had its ups and downs, you're looking for natural answers to common health questions, or you're an advocate for health freedom, come and join us.
Let's align your health.
Max Living Nation, this is Dr. Ryan Berlin and Ashley Berlin, and we're back with another episode of the Max Living Podcast.
Listen, the amount of sleep you get plays a huge role in your health. And according to the CDC, adults who get less than 7 hours of sleep are more likely to report 10 chronic health conditions compared to those who get enough sleep.
We're excited to be talking to you today. We're talking about sleep.
Sleep. I love sleep. It's delightful.
It's a true story. Ashley's one of those who requires a tight 12 hours a night.
I wish, but you know what? It is funny. One time we were, Ryan was filling out a sleep survey for something. And you leaned over. I remember I'll never forget it. You leaned over and you said to me, Ashley, how many hours of sleep a night do you want? And I said, 12. And you looked at me like I was crazy.
I think your first answer was all of them.
All of them. I want all the hours.
I think that was your first answer.
So. I do love some good sleep. So let's talk about sleep a little bit. You know, what's funny is that this topic, sleep in general, is one of the most, we don't have a lot of patients that come into our office just because of sleep. Typically they're not coming in and saying, hey, I'd like to go see you because I'm having issues sleeping and I know that this is going to help me. But it's one of those things that is one of our most frequently mentioned, can you call it a side effect, a side benefit? A benefit of chiropractic.
It's one of the most commonly reported changes people see in their health is when they get adjusted that they go, yeah, you know, I don't know if X, Y, and Z changed yet, but I slept really, really great last night. And I want to talk about this through the lens. If we can talk a little bit about quality of sleep in terms of like, can you sleep? Do you fall asleep easily or whatever? But I also want to talk about the other side of this was what we get asked all the time is, what kind of bed should I sleep on? What kind of pillow should I sleep on? Does it matter? Is there stuff that's, you know, I think I have a bad bed. I think my bed's too old.
Right.
Like, how do you know if your bed's the problem or, you know, is it just your spine? Is your spine the problem? Is your spine old and your bed's fine? and these are like questions we get frequently. So we're going to talk through some of these with some intentionality, but we also will talk about like, why do people sleep better when they get adjusted? That's a big part of this too. So if you're having any issues with sleep, listen in because this is going to be a great, half hour that we're going to just be talking about how to get the most out of your sleep. So number one, does everybody require the same amount of sleep? The answer is yes and no. Everybody requires you have to have quality sleep, particularly for a few hours a night. And then if you don't hit that window, then you actually have to sleep more.
Right.
So there's 4 hours a night that are the most important between 10 and 2, 10 p.m. and 2 a.m. And that isn't always perfectly 10 and 2.
Sure.
That's just the average based on what's called circadian rhythms. So what they found was when people were sleeping during those hours, they were hitting the most REM sleep cycles. Somehow like the sun and the moon play a role in our sleep. And so that was a huge thing. Now, if you don't hit those 4 hours, then you're going to require a lot more sleep to recover and because that you're getting less REM cycles per night. That being said, not everyone's the same. Some people require more sleep. Some people, their brains are more active throughout the day. I know that that's you. Like you have a very, very active brain. You're thinking about a lot of different things all day long. I'm more like, I take 2 to 2.5 hours every day at lunch, especially my long days, to like not think about anything. So I don't think I require the same recovery because there are times that I'm going intentionally because of something I have to do later in the day, like a doctor's report or a talk that, or a radio show like this, that I'll spend intentional time like meditating and clearing my brain. And I really think that requires less activity than if you know, brain, like less recovery than if you were running around just doing a bunch of thinking about everything.
I'm like that. What is that meme where it says this is what my brain's like? And it's like that browser with 100 tabs that are open.
Yes, yeah.
That's exactly what's going on. So it's a different thing. Yeah, I need a lot more time to decompress and to really to get in there and feel rested.
So there's that. I mean, the basics on sleep, we want to, 8 hours a night, is that the number? Most people say between 6 and 8. There's research that shows people who get that 8, they have less disease, that they have less heart troubles. So people who have trouble that are waking up frequently, sometimes a question is why are you waking up? So this is one we get in the office very frequently, is people will come in, and you said people don't come to see us for sleep frequently, but actually it's one of the most brought up things in their initial conversation, because they'll say frequently my neck's bad, I don't know why it happened, maybe I slept wrong. Or they'll say, my back hurts, I might have slept wrong. Or they'll say, I think my bed, I think there's something wrong with my bed because I wake up every morning and I'm hurting. So sleep comes up a lot in our initial conversation. So,
and listen, it's a very, they say that chronic long-term sleep-related disorders affect about 1.5 million Americans each year, and they spend an estimated $16 billion in medical costs annually around those sleep issues. So it's really interesting to me, because if you're, sleep pharmaceuticals, changing your sheets, buying the mattress cover that keeps you cool, going and spending money on a new mattress, all of those things, if you're doing all of those things and not looking into chiropractic care, it's a major misstep.
Yeah. Right? I mean, it's not uncommon for people to spend $2,000, $3,000, $4,000, or more. I mean, I know that we have spent that much on a bed, even on the bed, but on the mattress. Like, we've bought a $5,000 Sleep Number mattress before.
Right.
And I mean, it blows me away that people will spend that on a mattress and not work on their own body. But let's talk about this. So how do you know if your mattress is good or bad? Number one, the average mattress is built to last about 7 to 10 years. Now, they may advertise more than that, or they might put something on there, but if your bed's older than 7 to 10 years, time to get rid of it. Just think about your car when it's 7 to 10 years old. Think about your refrigerator when it's 7 to 10 years old. Think about your furniture in your house, 7 to 10 years old. It's starting to break down. It doesn't mean that things can't be fixed on your refrigerator or your car, but it's starting to break down and have problems. The problem is there's not a bed mechanic, mattress mechanic.
Right.
Nobody's coming in to fix the upper bypass radiator hose on your mattress. When a mattress starts to break down, it's starting to break down. It's going to have a direct effect on your sleep, your quality of sleep, and ultimately your health. So 7 to 10 years. So right away, if you've had a mattress longer than 7 to 10 years, chances are it's time to get rid of it.
Right.
That's a big thing. Now, they used to tell you flipping mattresses and stuff like that could extend the life of your mattress. And I think so much has changed in the industry that that's not true anymore. But as a general rule of thumb, if you're waking up and you're feeling stiff and sore every single morning, then it's probably time to replace your mattress. And, or, again, if you're a chiropractic patient, you shouldn't feel like that every morning. If you're not a chiropractic patient, we can talk about why you would get checked or chiropractic and not change your mattress. But again, 7 to 10 years old, probably time to get rid of it.
Right.
Or 7 to 10 years old, this is going to sound silly, but move it to a guest room where it's going to get slept on, once every few weeks or months, and it might last you a few more years. So we did that. We had our mattress for about 5 years, 5-6 years. Wasn't really breaking down, but we just were like, hey, let's go spend some more money than we had back 5 years ago.
Right.
And let's get a more comfortable mattress. And we did. And so we moved the other mattress to the guest bedroom, and guests love it because it's still a pretty high quality mattress.
Yeah, it's a great mattress.
And it'll last probably, instead of only lasting 7 to 10 years in that room, it might last another 5 to 8 because it's not getting slept on that often. So, now we're going to get 12, 15 years. So rotating the mattress and moving your mattress into the guest bedroom and getting rid of the guest bedroom mattress, it's a great way of extending the life of a higher quality mattress. So 7 to 10 years, if you spent $500 on your mattress, chances are it's not lasting 7 to 10 years.
Right.
Considering that mattresses, king size mattresses, can cost upwards of $5,000. And that's supposed to last roughly 10 years. If you paid $500, after 1 or 2 years, you're probably going to start seeing the level of breakdown that you would see after one that's only taking, that it will take longer. So number two, pillow. What kind of pillow do I use?
Yes.
You have to be sleeping in a position that is spinal neutral.
Ooh.
So spinal neutral. So what that means is if you're laying down, the best position you could sleep on is your back, and you want something supporting the curve of your neck, and even the curve of your lower back. So frequently people will put a pillow under their knees or put a pillow between their knees or whatever, but they don't really think about using a pillow that's actually designed for the curvatures of your spine.
Yes.
We don't even use pillows all the time.
Yes.
We actually do some spinal rehab while we're sleeping. So
it's the best time to do spinal rehab.
Yeah. So let's talk about this. How many hours are you sleeping?
Well, let's not do the math on 12 because I don't really get 12 in. Let's call it 8.
Let's call it 8 and say you're sleeping 8. You're getting in, how many hours is that in a week?
56 hours.
And then in a year, that's roughly 3,000 hours. And we talked about in a lifetime, you're sleeping 23 hours, I believe it is, of your, or 23 years of your life. So you're spending roughly a third of your life, or, you know, a quarter to a third of your life, depending on how old you live to be, sleeping.
Right.
So it's critical that you're healing while you're sleeping, because you are healing while you're sleeping. That's a big point of sleep.
Right. Right.
But are you healing well?
Right.
So our patients, especially ones who are going through corrective care in our office, we have, they're called, they're spinal,
rolls.
Yeah. But what's the word I was looking for? It's like a spinal orthotic.
Yes.
That you would put under your neck and under your lower back. Cause you have three curves of your spine. The middle curve, you don't need to support as much when you're sleeping due to the position of it, but your neck curve and your low back curve flatten out when you're laying on your back.
Yes.
So you want to put something underneath your back and your neck. And so we use these foam spinal rolls, and they're very supportive. I've actually x-rayed people on different pillows.
Yes.
So taking x-rays of them on 10, 15, 20 different pillows. And we only found one pillow that came close to doing what these spinal rolls do, but the spinal rolls did it the best. And what they do is they support the curvatures and keep them in their healthy position.
Yep.
So that you don't lose the curvature of your spine. Why? Because a loss of curvature in your spine is a major, major, major reason for a lot of the health issues that we see people having. Curvature of the spine flattening out can literally damage your entire nervous system. Think of a banana and the curve in a banana. And then when you straighten out the banana, if you grabbed a banana and tried to straighten it out, what would you do to the inside and all the material inside the banana?
Right, right. Which I think is a great example. Like you just squash all that material in it, and it, and you're not doing any help, you know, like it's doing damage.
So right? Imagine that's your spinal cord. That's the connection there right. is. We're not talking about bananas. We don't care about smashing bananas. We're talking about the banana is a metaphor.
Save the banana campaign.
No, it's a metaphor for what's happening to your right. cervical spine when you bend your cervical spine in the wrong direction for 8 hours a night.
Right.
So sleeping on your back with no pillow flattens out your curve. Sleeping on your back with too big of a pillow flattens out your curve and gives you severe forward head posture.
Right. And there's so many other things in our lives that we do that give us forward head posture. We cannot afford to spend these hours sleeping, giving ourselves more forward head posture.
This is the time you're not on a computer. This is the time you're not on a phone. So you want to be restoring any curvature that you may have affected during the day. And the only way to do that is laying on your back with a spinal aid orthotic underneath the neck. There's one that we used to use called the Denon Roll. But the one we use is made by Max Living. You can find it right on our Max Living store. There's a link to the spinal aids. So neck position. There's also a pillow that we recommend. The pillow works less good than the spinal aids.
Right.
But if you can't stand those aids for a long period of time, if you need to sleep on your side, now this is the next most important thing, is you don't want to sleep with your head, lower than it should be. Like the pillow's too small and you're kind of cranking your neck off to one side. If you're sleeping on your side and your pillow's too big, all of a sudden it's pushing your head too far up when you're laying on your side. So you want your spine and your neck, especially in a neutral position. The best way to do that is have a pillow that keeps your head in a neutral position to the rest of your spine. So the brand that we use is called Therapeutica.
Yep. It's a great pillow.
You can find it on Amazon. In fact, don't tell the Therapeutica people, but Amazon's return policy is better. Don't tell the Amazon people either. If something happens and you buy the right size, Therapeutica won't take it back, but Amazon will.
Right.
But it has a 7-year warranty. It's just a great pillow and it helps keep your spine neutral. So if you're a side sleeper and you're side sleeping and your pillow is too big or too small, that could be the reason for your neck problems. And we can see it on x-ray. We can see it all the time. You'll actually have a subluxation in your lower neck to upper back based on the shape of how you sleep. Now, the other thing we look at is, are you a stomach sleeper? Because if you are, I guarantee your spine is a mess.
So this is, some people are hearing this for the very first time, and this was shocking when I first met you.
You will not have a healthy spine or nervous system being a stomach sleeper, and you right. will not have good health being a stomach sleeper eventually. Eventually, stomach sleeping will destroy your spine, which in turn will put damage to your nervous system, which in turn will destroy your health.
Right. Which is horrible news. And now I'm a reformed stomach sleeper. So horrible news to the stomach sleepers out there. But there is hope because you can change the way you sleep.
And some people are like, oh, I'm not a stomach sleeper. I kind of sleep sometimes more on my side or whatever. No. Listen, first of all, nobody sleeps directly on their stomach because you'd suffocate. So the first thing you do is turn your head to the right or the left.
Right.
But now your spine is rotated from the upper part of the spine near the skull all the way down to your mid-thoracic spine. It's creating tension in your middle and lower back.
Right.
So what you do is whatever side, think about it. If you're a stomach sleeper, I want you to picture this because I know exactly what you're doing. I know it because I used to do it and I see it all the time. So your head's turned to one side, and I promise you, you do it to one side more than the other. Your head's turned to one side, so pick your side. And now, because it created tension in your middle lower back, what do?
You got to kick your leg up.
You bring that leg up.
Right.
You bring that leg up. You sleep one leg straight, one leg bent. And now you have rotated upper neck into thoracic spine. The curve in the neck flattens out, in most cases actually reverses.
Right.
The lower back rotates the opposite direction and your hips are way out of alignment. So when I take a neutral x-ray on you from the front and the side, I see a huge hip imbalance, usually a curvature in your lower back. It's destroying the lower back, the L4, L5 disc. Your hip flexors on one side are going to be tight all the time. SI joint jammed up. When you stand throughout the day and you start getting tired, you have the tendency to, you shift all your weight to one leg instead of the other. You're a female, chances are you cross your legs and you sit on one butt cheek more than the other. Why? Because 8 hours a night, you're training your spine to be in that position.
Right.
And I can look at your x-rays and I can tell you what side you turn your head to all night because you'll have severe rotation at somewhere in your spine, whether it's C2 or down around T2. One of those areas will have some really severe rotation. Here's what happens. You do this long enough, you start getting chronic headaches.
Right.
You get chronic headaches. You have greater sinus issues.
Right.
You might have acid reflux because your middle back starts to rotate and shift out of alignment, starts putting pressure on the nerves in your middle back. So that creates reflux and indigestion. Your low back, if your hips, you turn those hips and your hips are off by more than several millimeters, people are going to have greater low back pain. They're going to have reproductive issues, fertility issues, menstrual issues, heavy periods or erratic periods. You're going to have men, you're going to develop more prostate related issues and more bladder and erectile related issues. So sleeping on your stomach, I mean, you tell a female sleeping on her stomach is what's creating some of her infertility. That's bad news. You tell a male sleeping on his stomach is messing with his ability to maintain performance. If you know what I mean, like that's a bad deal. Nobody's
signing up for stomach sleeping.
Yeah.
After all that.
I'm like, well, I don't know if I can stop sleeping on my stomach. Well, it's messing with your, you know what I mean? Oh yeah. All right. I'll stop sleeping on my stomach.
Stop sleeping on my stomach. Yep.
So
absolutely.
So stomach sleeping, the worst thing you could do for your spine, because you're doing it again, you're doing it 23 years of your life. You know, if you're a constant stomach sleeper.
Right. Absolutely. And, you know, sleeping and speaking of segueing from, you know, fertility or infertility issues based on that stomach sleeping and just how it messes with your spine. But let's talk about one of my favorite things, and that is sleep and chiropractic kids. Because there is a very, very, very huge difference between kids who get adjusted, babies, infants, right out of birth, right after birth, who get adjusted, and their sleep cycles, and kids who are not adjusted.
Yeah. It's not just kids, though. I mean, it's human beings. So yes, babies. But like I said, adults, one of the most common things, the top few common things we frequently hear after people get adjusted, you know, I feel like emotionally they feel different. They feel lighter. What the big thing is, I slept amazing last night. Like I slept great after that adjustment. I would say probably 80%, 70-80% of our patients say they slept great after their first adjustment. So now infants, it's common that infants don't sleep really good, except for some kids are like, parents are like, oh my God, they sleep incredibly. These kids, you know, this kid sleeps incredibly, and all the other parents are jealous or ticked off. Like, oh, you must have just got lucky. You got a good baby. No,
No.
All the other kids are walking around with subluxated necks and spines. They just came out through the birth canal, and that's a tiny little opening. And the doctor grabbed their head, pulled, twisted, yanked them out. C-section. It's way worse.
Right.
C-sections. We did a show on this, but they use 100 pounds or more of force. Whew. That when they pull the kid by the head out of a C-section, mom would come up off the table if nurses weren't holding her down, that's common for that to happen. So these kids' necks, like in the United States, there was a medical doctor who did this research at Harvard, and he showed that 80% of children post-birth had spinal trauma to their neck. 80%. Because of our birthing practices in the United States and how kids are birthed. So that just goes to show us that these kids are all subluxated. And because they're subluxated, they need to be getting adjusted. Because they're not getting adjusted, they're not sleeping well.
Right.
So a big, big, big part of kids sleeping well is getting good chiropractic care. It's the most common thing we hear is parents will frequently say, man, they got adjusted. You know, the kid might be coming in for other reasons. Ear infections,
right.
Digestive related issues, reflux, if they're infants, you know, if they're older kids, possibly things like ADD, ADHD, asthma. These are things that respond really well to chiropractic care, not because we're treating those conditions, but because those conditions, when the spine has irritation or interference to it, those conditions heal better when we remove that interference. And so this just goes, it's just really simple that, you know, you start adjusting these kids and first thing that changes is there's less stress, less interference in their body. They go into a better sleep cycle and a better sleep state.
It reminds me of one of my favorite stories. We had a mom and dad patients who came into the clinic and they had heard they had twins, and this mom and dad, they were wonderful people, but they hadn't slept in.
They had three children under 14 months. No, something like that. So they had brand new twins that were a couple weeks old. And then they had another daughter who was like they basically had her and got pregnant again, however that
right,
would be.
Is right,
that,
right.
I mean, I'm talking like she was only like 12 months old, maybe.
Right, right. So they came in and these poor folks, my gosh, they hadn't slept in weeks since they had these twins. They were disheveled. They were distraught. They came in and they said, we have heard that chiropractic can help babies sleep. And now we had to say chiropractic doesn't treat anything. It doesn't cure sleeping. It doesn't make babies sleep. It doesn't do any of those things, but it does remove interference. It does normalize the function of the body. It does create a scenario where the body is meant to do what it's going to do. And so we do help babies get in that state of where they're supposed to be, where they're subluxation free, where their body's just operating how it should and they're sleeping peacefully. So these parents came in, we adjusted these babies, wonderful young ladies, and then they went home, and lo and behold, the next day we come into the office.
Well, they weren't even scheduled for the next day.
They weren't even scheduled.
So we adjusted them on a Thursday and
they showed up.
They were
up.
Rescheduled for the following Monday to check them again.
Yep.
We said, hey, we adjust them today and then let's follow up on Monday and see how they did over the weekend. They're waiting at the door when we get to the office on Friday morning. And I'm like, the mom's name was Sarah. And I'm like, Sarah, is everything okay? And she goes, whatever you did yesterday, do it again.
We need it.
She said, my husband and I woke up. She said, it was like 4 hours into the night. We both woke up. It's the most sleep we've had in, you know, since the twins were born. She said, we felt amazing, but we immediately were terrified because we were like, oh no, they didn't wake us up. So they ran down to the bedroom thinking, you know, something's wrong.
Right.
And the kids are all three kids are sleeping soundly. And they're like, we were checking to make sure they were still breathing. it was unbelievable. And they said, we went back to sleep and slept for another 4 hours. They said all three kids slept for 8 straight hours.
It's amazing.
Now, you know, it's not like infants frequently sleep for 8 straight hours because they get up and nurse or whatever. But these kids had been subluxated since birth. And so as soon as they got adjusted, they went into a healing state and they slept probably, you know, it was like super duper sleep.
Right.
That they were sleeping for healing and regeneration. And these kids were probably exhausted too.
Right.
If they had not been sleeping.
Right. You know, And listen, there's a parent out there right now who needs to hear that, who's probably going to show up at our door before we even open for the next time that we come into the office. And if you want to bring your kids in, if you want to get them to get checked, if you'd like to get checked.
Or if you know, you're a stomach sleeper and you're like, I didn't realize that I was doing that. I promise you, if you've slept on your stomach for any length of time, I'm talking like more than a year, your spine is probably a train wreck.
Right.
And I mean, I don't mean that to be. I just mean, like, if we take an x-ray, you're going to probably be able to look at the x-ray yourself, untrained, not a radiologist, no analysis, just like take an x-ray and you're going to probably look at it and go, oh my gosh, is that supposed to look like that? Because you're going to be able to pick up on what, think about the position you're in all night. Think about your head turned to the side. Think about your hip up. Think about what your spine looks like. It's shaped like an S when you do that. And, you know, every night, well, Dr. Ryan, I switch back and forth. No, you spend probably, if you're a stomach sleeper, if you're the type of person that you wake up and you're on your stomach when you wake up, chances are you're mostly on your stomach and your spine's in a bad position. And I'm telling you, you're going to want to take care of that at some point. You right now is the time. Like, if you keep waiting, it is going to start causing irreversible damage. And the longer you wait, the worse it gets. So our whole point of this show is we don't want you to follow us every week and just hear good information.
Yes.
I mean, I don't want you to we try to bring good information every week. We try to make the show valuable. Absolutely. Every week. But the worst thing we could do is have avid listeners who are learning a lot about their health and then still are not taking care of their spine and nervous system, still have no idea how to really approach their nutrition and, you know, like, are they exposed to toxicity they didn't know about? Right. So we call them the five essentials, that there's five areas that we help our patients with. And what's funny is not every patient has a problem in every area, and not every patient has a problem in all five areas, that, or, you know what I mean? Sometimes it's one, but if we're intentional about trying to figure out where your health issues lie, just coming to a place that's going to be proactive and not reactive, and a doctor that's working with you to build health and not build disease. Because that's what the other doctors do. I mean, no offense, but if they're putting you on drugs, they're not helping you build health. They're helping you build more disease over time.
Right.
It's very simple. Take a look at the person who you know that takes the most drugs. Are they healthier than most people, or are they sicker than most people? Chances are they're sicker. And they're sicker not just because of their conditions. They're sicker because of the drugs.
Right. And if your goal is over time to end up on the most amount of drugs throughout your life, there's plenty of places
just
that you can go.
Just keep seeing a medical doctor.
Right. There's plenty of places you can go to do that. If your goal looks different than that, if your goal is to say, can I be right now, if you're a couple, if you are a married couple over the age of 60 and neither one of you are on a medication, you are one in, what is it, 10,000?
It's at least that. I think it's even more than that. I can't remember the exact stat. We used to use this stat a long time ago, and it's
an astounding statistic.
If you're not on a drug and never been diagnosed with a major condition, you're like one in 1,000. But if you're a couple and you're doing it together, neither one of you has a diagnosed health issue, you're no diseases, and you're not on any drugs, you're like one in 10,000. It's a pretty crazy number, but it doesn't mean you can't move back in the other direction. It doesn't mean
Absolutely.
You can't heal. It doesn't mean you can't get healthier. You're not going to do it taking pharmaceuticals. You're not going to do it ignoring your spine. You're not going to do it without having an intentional nutrition plan that you follow. Like, and I'm not saying dieting. I'm saying just, if I were to say, how do you eat? You would be able to name off kind of what the standards in your nutrition plan are. Like, I eat this, I don't eat this, I only allow myself so much of this. Like, you know, here's the quality standards I have. This is what I buy organic. Here's the type of meat that I consume. Here's the type of meat I don't consume.
Right.
You should have a plan for that. So as a doctor of health, that's what chiropractors are. I mean, yeah, we take care of the spine, but chiropractors really, chiropractic was all about, it was a philosophy, science, and art of things natural. That was part of the definition of chiropractic. And so we're concerned with doing the natural thing that's promoting health and getting you healing.
And if you want to get somewhere different than where you're at right now, you're not going to be able to do it doing the same things that you've always done. It's going to look different.
And if that's you, go to maxliving.com, click on find a doctor, and there's going to be a Max Living doctor in your area that's going to be able to help you resolve these issues and correct some of the damage that's been done by literally what has happened when you've been sleeping over the last several years.
Right. Absolutely. And listen, here's a couple other things that you can do. Absolutely. Action step number one, get to a Max Living office, get checked. That's going to have a major impact on your sleep. Next thing you can do, go to maxliving.com. We got two different articles, 7 ways to get better sleep and 8 tips for improving your sleep. Lots of resources on this website at maxliving.com. And then last, definitely not least, there is on maxliving.com a sleep and mood formula supplement.
Yeah, I've been using this for a while now. Truth be told, I get adjusted. I do everything right. But as a business owner, as someone with 3 kids, a wonderful wife who helps reduce
wonderful.
Stress in my life.
a zero stress wife.
But with 3 kids, multiple businesses over the years, all this stuff, I realize that as a 41-year-old male, like I've built up some accumulated stress along the way, and it's a real thing. So one of the supplements that helps me to manage my sleep-wake cycle, which is what we referred to earlier, it's your circadian rhythm. It's, you know, primarily controlled by the sun going up and the sun going down, but our lifestyles don't always fit within that. So it's the hormones, melatonin and cortisol, that really have the biggest effect on this. And this sleep mood cycle, or the sleep mood formula that Max Living has, helps to balance hormones naturally so that you're able to fall asleep and stay asleep better. It really affects something called serotonin too, that your serotonin levels are directly linked to emotional stability and depression and all this. So that's why when you have poor sleep quality, you feel horrible in the morning. Even things like impulse control when it comes to addictions and you know, just impulsive activity. So it's crazy that just getting better sleep and taking a supplement that supports sleep can have a huge impact on so much of your life.
Oh, absolutely. And you can find that supplement right there, www.maxliving.com. And you can go on there and search out that sleep and mood formula supplement.
Max awesome. Living Nation, we're so excited to have gone through this with you today, and we can't wait till next week. Until then, this is Dr. Ryan and Ashley Berlin on the Max Living Podcast.
Thanks for listening to the Max Living Podcast. To find a doctor near you, head to maxliving.com/locations.